Without fire, there is no light, no warmth, no passion, no action, no change. But a single flame can ignite life, hope, passion, power, fire. Destitute of the fire of God, nothing else counts. Possessed in fire, nothing else matters. Let the Holy Spirit ignite a fire in you that will burn for the glory of God. For our Lord has promised us, He will ignite the kingdom life within you. A fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. Ignite. Join us at Agape House New Testament Church every weekend, beginning August 17th and 18th, as we seek God for a fresh outpouring of fire. Ignite Sermon Series, Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, near ENC Square, East Legon.
Everyone, and welcome to Revelation. It's great to have you with me today as we continue our teaching series titled Mind Games. I believe this is one of the most important teaching series we've ever handled at Revelation Media Ministry, because you see, our mind is an important part of our lives. It's the place where we learn, and as we saw last week, it determines our lifestyle. What we think about has the ability to even determine our destiny. God wants to transform our lives and change us to become just like Jesus, but how He does that is through changing our mind. The Bible tells us clearly that our lives will be changed into God's image when we change our thinking. Now, that's made clear in our scripture text for this series, which we find in Romans 12:2. It's right there on your television screen, and I'd like us to all read it together. Are you ready? Here we go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of His word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody just say, change the way you think. Friend, I hope you heard that deep truth contained inside this one little verse from Romans 12. It's a truth that can dramatically change your life forever. It's the fact that God's process of transforming you into a new person is by changing the way you think. When your thought patterns change, then your life will change as well. The fact is, you may be successful in every area of your life. You may be successful in your business, in your marriage, in your education, but to break the destructive thought patterns that hold you down will accelerate you into a new realm of living. You may have achieved financial growth and physical growth and even spiritual growth, but there's something holding you back, and it's a limitation in your thinking. If you will change your thinking, you will change your life. Believe it or not, this is exactly the message Jesus preached when He first began His ministry. If you go to Matthew 4:17, we see it. Here the Bible says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, many of you might say, wait a minute, Reverend, that doesn't say change your thinking. That verse simply tells us that Jesus preached we should repent. We should change our behavior. But friends, here's the truth. The word repent does not mean change your conduct. The word repent literally means to change your mind. The English word repent is a translation of the word Jesus spoke in the Greek language, metaneo. And that word literally means change of mind. We've all heard the word repent. It's usually said with power or sometimes anger or force. And we react to that word. How do we usually feel when we hear the word repent? We might feel guilty or shameful. We automatically think of the way we behave. We think, I've got to do something different. I'm stealing money. I need to stop. I'm losing my temper and getting angry. I need to stop. I'm telling lies. I need to start telling the truth. When we hear the word repent, we automatically think about changing our actions and lifestyles. But that's not what the word repent means. It means change the way you think. It doesn't just mean change your actions. It means change your thoughts. For you see, when you change your thoughts, you will change your actions. Now understand, when Jesus began his ministry, he'd been planning this for a long time. He had 30 years to think about what his first sermon would contain. He'd been planning for many years what he would say to people when he had a chance. And this is the first message Jesus gave us. Change your thinking. Why was that Jesus' first message? Because Jesus knows there's a huge link between your thoughts and your actions. He was more interested in focusing on your thoughts and our ability to think right than he was with our behavior and our ability to act right. Now, that does not mean that Jesus doesn't care about your conduct. Not at all. He knows that wrong behavior hurts us and our families and our futures. But he didn't come to say, change your conduct. He came to say, change your thinking, change your thought life. Because Jesus knows that right thinking will lead to a changed life. And if you stop and think about it for a moment, we'd have to admit that we all know this is true. Every action starts in our minds. Every hope, every dream, every goal starts in our minds. Today we even say to one another, think before you act. Because we know this is true. We know that life change begins in our minds. The starting point for change is not in our behavior, it's not in our emotions, it's in our thoughts. So here's a little formula to help you remember the power of this truth. RT over T equals LLC. That means right thinking over time equals lasting life change. But how can we do this? A lot of us would like to change our lives. A lot of us would like to change our thoughts. But the challenge remains for us in finding the way to change our thinking. Well, the good news is lasting life change is possible. It's possible to change your thinking. After all, God would not have commanded us to change our thinking if it wasn't possible and if it wasn't necessary. And when we understand the three laws of the mind, we'll be able to change our thinking. So let me give you the three laws of the mind today that will help you break free from destructive thoughts and put you in control in the battle for your mind. The first law of the mind is this. It's the law of focus. Simply stated, the law of focus says you become whatever you think about. The law of focus says that whatever you dwell upon in your mind grows in your life experience. Whatever you think about on a continual basis becomes a part of you. We become what we think. The more you think about something, the more powerful that thing becomes to us. It grows and it becomes all that you look at. Let me tell you a story to help illustrate this law. Once there was an airplane flying from Ghana to the UK when it encountered a terrible storm up in the sky. The wind was blowing and the plane started shaking. Rain was falling and beating the plane and lightning was flashing. The plane was going up and down and everyone on the plane was very frightened. People started praying and shouting and screaming. Others were shaking in fear. But there was one little girl, about 10 years of age, who sat calmly all through the storm. She seemed unmoved by any of the bumps and the turbulence, and when everyone was frightened, she was cool and calm. Finally, an elderly lady leaned forward and spoke to the young girl, "My dear, aren't you afraid of this storm? How can you be so calm when all the rest of us are worried about what might happen?" Then the little girl just smiled and said, "Oh, I'm not worried, for you see, my father is the pilot." When everyone else was focused on the storm, the little girl was focused on her father. She knew who was flying the plane, so nothing else troubled her. And so it is for all of us. No matter what happens around you today, when you focus on your Father in heaven, you can be at peace, for He has you in His everlasting arms of love. He works all things together for good in your life. When you focus on the power and the promise of your Heavenly Father, you will be at peace even in the midst of your storm. But if you constantly think about all the bad things that could happen, you will become fearful. If you're always focusing your thoughts on the difficulties you face, you'll become discouraged. Do you constantly look at the negative? Life will be negative for you. Do you constantly count your blessings? You'll be overflowing with thanksgiving. Once a man came to a famous preacher and told him he was having emotional problems. The man told the preacher, "I'm constantly depressed. I feel like I'm living under a cloud of discouragement. My emotions are so dark, I don't even want to go on living." Then the preacher said to the man, "Well, I don't believe you have an emotional problem. I believe you have a thinking problem." "What do you mean?" the man asked. "Well, let me ask you a question," the preacher said. "What do you think about when you wake up in the morning?" "I think about how bad my life is and how miserable I feel," the man replied. "And what do you think about all day at work?" "Oh, I think about all the trouble my family has and how no one in my family has ever succeeded, how my finances are a mess, no one loves me, my marriage is failing, my kids are in trouble. I think about it all day long," the man said. "And what do you think about when you go to bed at night?" the preacher asked him. "Same thing," the man replied. Then the preacher said this, "My friend, there's nothing wrong with your emotions. They're working just fine. They're doing what God created them to do. Your emotions are simply following your thoughts. Whatever you think about will determine how you feel all day. If you change your thinking, you will change your life." That's why Hebrews 3 tells us this, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." If you fix your thoughts on Jesus, you'll have the joy and peace of Jesus. Romans 8, 5, and 9 gives us an even clearer illustration of the power of the law of focus. It's a long passage, but bear with me and listen carefully. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." Do you hear what God is saying to you today? If you think about sinful desires, you'll act sinful. If you think about spiritual desires, you'll be spiritual. It's simple. Whatever you focus on will control you. So it's time to start thinking about what you're thinking about. If you fill your mind with television all day, then wonder why you're depressed, it's because TV is depressing. If you watch DVDs and videos and you watch people committing all kinds of sinful acts, and then you wonder why you're struggling with lust, it's because what you're thinking about is affecting your life. So it's time to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Some of you are fond of reading tabloid newspapers, you know, the kind that show some sensational story about somebody on the front page, the type of newspaper that has pictures of half-naked women inside. You read those papers and fill your mind with all kinds of stories, then you think about it all day long and talk about it with your friends, and what you read controls your mind, and what controls your mind controls your life. It's time to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Once you identify the negative thoughts that you're focusing on, then you're ready to move on to law number two, which is the law of substitution. Simply put, the law of substitution says your mind can only focus on one thing at a time. You can only think of one thing. at a time. So the key becomes focusing on God and His Word rather than focusing on the flesh and the world. It doesn't matter if the thoughts are positive or negative. Your mind can only hold one thought at a time. So the key to victory becomes substituting positive thoughts for negative thoughts. Replace sinful thoughts with godly thoughts. When you fill your mind with godly thoughts and true thoughts, there will not be any room for evil and sinful thoughts. That's what Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 2 and 3. The Bible says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." In other words, replace earthly thoughts with heavenly thoughts. Substitute carnal thoughts for spiritual ones. Don't sit around fighting the wrong thoughts. Replace them with God's thoughts. This is the key to victory. It's found also in Romans 12, 21, where the Bible says, "Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good." We must substitute thoughts of defeat with God's thoughts of victory. We must put thoughts of good things in our minds so that we can conquer our minds and win the race that is set before us. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 13, 14. "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." When you clothe yourself with Jesus Christ, it means you put on His nature like you put on a coat. Everything about you becomes dressed in Jesus, including your mind. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "But we have the mind of Christ." Let the mind of the Master be the master of your mind, and you will develop a beautiful mind. You see, the most beautiful mind in the whole world is the mind of Christ. It's always pure, always true, always stable. And when we substitute His thoughts for our thoughts, we too can have the mind of Christ. Philippians 4, 7 and 8 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." You see, when you fill your mind with God's thoughts, you close the door to backsliding. You close the door to going back to your old life. That's exactly what others in the faith did who've gone ahead of us. Hebrews 11 tells us what these heroes of the faith did in verses 15 and 16. It says, "If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." Did you hear what the Bible said? If they'd been thinking about where they came from, it would have opened a door for them to go back. And the problem for many of us is that we want to change our behavior, but we're not willing to change our thinking. If you keep thinking about where you came from, it will open the door for you to go back. Thoughts are the one area that is easiest to play around with sin. We can sin in our minds and no one knows it. We can imagine committing adultery in our mind and no one will ever know. We can imagine taking revenge on our enemies in our mind and not suffer any outward embarrassment or shame. And because of that, we play around with wrong thoughts in our minds. But those thoughts will destroy us. You may believe you can think sinful thoughts, and as long as you don't act on them, nothing bad will happen to you. But that is not true. Remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think, you will become a slave to those thoughts, and this will allow Satan a chance to enter your life and destroy you. And that brings us to the third law of the mind, the law of spiritual warfare. For you see, friends, there is a spiritual battle for your mind. The enemy tries to put thoughts in your head. He tries to deceive you and corrupt you and darken you in your mind. That's why you've got to bind the spiritual forces of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "The god of this age," that's Satan, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." If possible, not only does the devil want to deceive the unbeliever, but he'll even try to deceive Christians, for 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." You see, your battle for the mind is not a power encounter. It's a truth encounter. This is not a battle that you win by binding and loosing. It's a battle you win by exposing lies and receiving truth. There are spiritual battles that are power encounters. When you encounter a demon-possessed person who needs deliverance, you've got to pray and do spiritual warfare. But the battle for your mind is mostly a truth encounter. You can bind the devil 1,000 times, but if you don't replace his lies with the truth, then you will continue to see him coming back and pounding you with more lies. Many years ago in the U.S., there were 2 football teams, a blue team and a red team, and they were scheduled to play a match for the championship of their league. The coach of the blue team decided to try to intimidate the players from the red team. So he went into the city and found the biggest, fattest, tallest men he could. He gathered 10 of these giant, huge, fat, strong men, all who were above 2 meters in height and who weighed about 120 kilos. They were giants. Now, none of those 10 men could play football, but the coach didn't need them to play. He only wanted to use them to intimidate the opposition. So the coach dressed these 10 giants in the blue team uniform and marched them out onto the pitch. They never played in the match. The regular team played for the blue. But the coach had these 10 giants dressed in the blue team uniform standing on the side of the field throughout the match. And you know what happened? His plan worked. The red team couldn't stop staring at those 10 giants. They couldn't stop thinking about how big those men were. And the red team lost focus and lost the match. If the red team had realized that these men were never going to enter the field and enter the match, they could have relaxed. The red team didn't need to stand up against those giants. They only needed to overcome their thoughts. That's exactly what the devil does to you and me. He puts giant thoughts of doubt and fear and worry and criticism and anger in our minds. But the fact is, we don't need power to overcome those thoughts. We need the truth. If you expose the lie, you will break the power of that lie. The fact is, friend, you don't need to accept every thought that comes into your mind. Not every thought comes from God. You need to bring your thoughts into obedience. For God tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Your weapon today is to bring every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. As we prepare to close this Revelation episode, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to bind the forces of darkness and silence those voices echoing in your mind. I'm going to stand against every evil spirit of the enemy and cast him out of your mind. But I don't want you to be deceived. I'll pray over you and Satan will flee. But don't think that means you can receive prayer and your problems will all be solved. The scripture we just read says this: the weapons we fight with are taking our thoughts captive. In other words, you have to fight. You have to pick up the weapon, focus your mind on Christ, and substitute good for evil. You have to practice the law of focus and the law of substitution to have the law of spiritual warfare. You have a part to play in renewing your mind. You must focus on God and substitute His thoughts for your thoughts. But we also need the power of God to help. You're not in the battle alone. You have a victorious Savior who has come to overthrow the enemy and bring you peace in your mind. The fact is, God's grace plus your effort will equal lasting life change. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Commit to having a renewed mind, and God will see you through. Now, let me pray for you and trust God to break the chains of darkness so that as the devil flees from your mind, you will be able to fill your mind with thoughts of truth and thoughts from God. Shall we pray? Almighty and everlasting Father, I thank you for everyone viewing this broadcast today. I submit them to you, and I bind every demon spirit, every force of hell, every power of the enemy. I bind his wicked lies, and I bind his thoughts from controlling and disturbing and distracting and deceiving your people today. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone listening to this broadcast. And Father, I ask you to loose the power of the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance to their minds, break the strongholds of darkness, and bring deliverance through your light and through your power. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, I believe that God has come and touched you today, but you've got a job to do. You've got to focus on the truth and substitute God's thoughts for your thoughts. You can do that partly by going to my website, www.revrcw.com. There you'll find the teaching notes and the study guides for this lesson and for all of our broadcasts here at Revelation. You can watch past episodes of this series, and you can find out the truth that will set you free. Fill your mind with God's Word, and your life will be changed. Next week, I'll be sharing a message with you entitled True Thoughts. We're going to continue our series by exposing the three main lies of Satan, and we'll discover the true thoughts that we must all have in order to overcome his attacks. I'm praying for you, and I'm trusting that God's Word and God's Spirit is making a difference in your life. I'd love to hear from you as well. You can send me your prayer requests, your questions, or just your comments about this program. And as we take them, we will get back to you and bless you in the name of the Lord. Thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I trust that I'll see you next week. Until then, may God in His love be with you.